All right, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We're just going to jump off there again, but we're talking about the seven laws of teaching by John Milton Gregory. Of course, there are seven things. One, the law of the teacher, law of the learner, law of the common language, and tonight it's a law of the lesson or truth, the law of the teacher's work, the law of the learner's work, and finally the law of review of the work. And so if you find your place in Deuteronomy chapter 6, again, this was given, and Moses shared this with Israel. And again, this is really the basis and the foundation that God's covenant with Israel. Of course, they had the law, and God was going to help them and encourage them, but he wanted them to follow that law. Today, we know you cannot keep the law, and we're so grateful that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and shed his blood, was buried, and rose again. And when you put your faith and trust in him, by grace, you're saved, and of course, you're going to have a desire to keep the law. Even though you can't keep it, you're not perfect. It's only through Christ that we can do anything. But here, he's telling Moses to tell the children of Israel. Look at verse 1, Deuteronomy 6 says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." So the idea is that they would learn these laws, these statutes, these covenants, and there were a lot of them, 613, somewhere in there, and that's a lot. And you can imagine how much that would be and all the different rituals and the different things they had to do. But the reason that they were to teach them was so that they would do them, apply them, do them in their life. And he said, in the land whither ye go to possess it. Verse 2, he says, "that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." So here, God, through Moses, is giving them some instructions, and the purpose is they would learn these. Look at verse 24, the same passage says, "And the Lord God commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as in at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us." So this was instruction. It was to teach them that they might follow him and walk with him. And that's really what we want to do as a church, a body of believers, is to teach others how to walk with the Lord. What does it mean to walk with the Lord? And so that's what we're going through is John Milton Gregory's seven laws of teaching to help each one of us, plus our Sunday school teachers, all of us, to be able to teach and understand what we're trying to do and present. Remember, the law of the teacher was really... the philosophy is that they must be knowledgeable in the subject. That's important that you know what you're talking about. 2 Timothy 2:15 reminds us to study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So a teacher that's teaching spiritual things ought to know about spiritual things. It ought to be part of their life. It ought to be ingrained in them. They're striving, they're walking, they're learning. Of course, law of the learner is like Psalm 27:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies." The learner needs to come having a desire to learn, to find out what God might have for them. And so both of these are important for anybody to learn anything, is that you have teachers, have knowledge, you have learners who want to learn, have a desire to learn. We talked about the law of the language, Proverbs 25:11-12. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver." And so, you know, the language itself needs to be a language that we understand, especially when you're dealing with younger people. They need to understand the language. And so we talked about that. philosophy of the law, according to Milton, the law of the language reaches down into the deepest facts of mind and runs out to the widest connections of thought with life and with the world in which we live. So it's the language that we want to help people understand. Of course, the Bible is sometimes difficult, especially for young minds to understand and grasp. There are words in there that even adults today don't understand. That they're words that aren't common to our language. And there's books, there's helps to go back and look and find out what those mean to understand those. But it's important for us as students of the Bible to go in and study the Word of God, not only in the language we have here, but back to the original language to get a grasp of what is trying to be taught. What is the purpose of it? What's behind it? And what is God trying to teach us? So the law of the lesson, that's tonight. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this law, the lesson, is understanding the lesson. It's a process to be mastered, something to be understood, something that we can solve, a problem, for instance. Just about everything we learn is, it's called problem solving. When you learn something, someone's trying to teach you something, we're trying to learn you, or trying to learn you, that's Jeff Rowe. Bodine, we're trying to learn you, trying to teach you to be able to think for yourself and to solve problems and to understand by the knowledge that you have to build on that knowledge. It's really the idea to inspire the student to want more, to desire more, to grab more of what he can get from the Word of God is our focus, to give principles that become active forces, to furnish them with a desire to research and continue their own study. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians today have not really studied the Bible. A lot of Christians. I was in churches, and you have been in churches, I'm sure, over your lifetime. Some of you, not all of you. But where people just come to church. They don't know anything about the Bible. If you were to ask them a question about it, they would just shun you. They wouldn't want to talk about it because they never really get into it. They're surface Christians. They'll read it, but they won't really dig into it to find out what it means. And how much do we miss if we don't know what it means? If we don't know what it means, can we apply it to our lives? Can we walk according to the Word of God and find out what God is trying to do in our lives? He's trying to teach us something all the time. And that's through the Word of God. He builds us up and encourages us in those things. So the idea is that this truth must be taught, but it also needs to be learned. And we want to use something that you've already learned and build upon it. You begin with a truth and you learn another truth. Like in the Sunday school lessons that we are starting, Answers in Genesis. The first lesson was the Word of God. And what we're trying to teach everybody is that how important is the Word of God? It's foundational, isn't it? It's settled in heaven. It's something that we can go to and we can trust. And we want to understand to build that trust. And we also, to build on top of that, we want to talk about God and learn about the attributes of God. Who is He? What has He done for us? What has He done at all? Of course, you go back to Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. You find out there's a lot of things that He has done. And today in our society, generally speaking, to teach about God, you almost have to go right back there and start teaching people exactly what happened. To help them to see the things that we can see, the things that have been revealed to man, that God has created all those things. He did it in 6 literal days. And once you have that foundation, then you can go from there and continue to build on the things of God, understanding of God. And it's very important that we learn those things. As you learn about God, you learn about His character. Also, you learn about mankind and you learn about sin. You build on that. We got a problem. So how do we solve the problem? And that's what we're trying to do is teach young people, teach adults, everybody, how to solve this problem that we have today. We teach them about God's love. Last week, that was one of the attributes that we taught, probably, I think, in all the Sunday school classes, probably. And what is God's love? How's God's love demonstrated? How do we teach that? I mean, what does that mean? Do you feel God's love tonight? Do you feel like He's with you? Is He encouraging you? Or are you upset or no joy in your life? How you react to God really depends on what you think about His love. And so we know that His love is demonstrated in Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. And through that, He's given us that love, that agape love, that we might share it and spread it and encourage others as well. It's teaching about Jesus. Who is Jesus? What did he come for those 33 years? What did he do while he was here? Now, we don't have a whole lot of things that happened until he, you know, we have a little bit about what happened when he was 12, and then when he gets older, around 30 or so, he begins his public ministry. That's where most of the story is told. But all of that is to reveal God's love for us and God's plan for us. And so we want to build on that. We want to learn about those miracles. We want to learn what he did. And of course, that would lead to what? Teaching about salvation. Building on the fact that I'm a sinner and God's holy, and the fact that I can never attain to God's holiness. But God loved me even while I was yet a sinner. And because of that, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for me and to take away my personal sin. So that's what we're trying to do, is build on these lessons, encourage young people to understand, encourage adults. There's a lot of adults that are lost today and have no idea, no understanding. So what's the philosophy of the law of the lesson? The law of the lesson has its roots in the nature of the mind and human knowledge. Okay, it's all teaching must begin at a point. We pick a point, we start teaching something. And that's what we do in Sunday school. That's what you do wherever you go. I remember years ago before I went in service, and I found out that they were going to let me be a, an FT, they called me. And I thought, what in the world is that? I was a fire control tech. You know what a fire control tech is? In my mind, it was somebody put out fires. It just made sense to me. But it's not. It's someone who works on radar that fires missiles, fire control. And I remember sitting back at the house before I went in the military thinking, boy, I'm going to learn about electricity. Now, I knew this much about electricity. That's about it. And I remember thinking, sitting there in the living room, and I was thinking, you know, when you turn that switch on, that light comes on. That's pretty neat. Wonder how all that stuff works. And that's kind of what we're talking about, building on something, starting out with some kind of knowledge, and then going from there and building up from the ground up. And you learn a lot of things. And that's what we're trying to do, is point by point by point, giving a step-by-step approach to help people understand and know it for themselves. You know, you really don't understand something until you can really share it or teach it. I've learned that a long time ago. If you can't teach it, chances are you don't really know it real well. That's not saying you can't do things. There's a lot of people who can do a lot of things, but they can never teach you how to do it. But to really teach it demonstrates you really have a grasp and a good understanding of something. And that's what we want as teachers, is to be able to know the knowledge that well, that we can turn around and share it, and someone else can grasp it. It becomes their knowledge, and they can use it and go on. You know, just thinking about all that's happened in our world in my short lifetime, the cars and the different things. There was a day when I could work on a car. I could jump in my truck. I had a 1970 Ford pickup. I could open the hood, jump inside that thing. I could pull the distributor out. I could take the points off. I could take the plugs out. I could get everything out of there, right? Today, I have no idea. I don't even know what a spark plug looks like. In my mind, it looks like a spark plug. I don't think that's what's in my car anymore. Something else is in there. They call spark plugs. But it's evolved, and I haven't evolved with it. So I don't have that knowledge. I got a foundation on how a car works. But today, to be honest with you, you can take your car to the shop, and those guys half the time can't fix it because they don't know what's wrong with it anymore. All the electronics and all this stuff's in it. So, but we want the foundation. We want to build on that. And if you got to continue with it if you want to keep knowing it and understanding it. All teaching must have advance in some direction. Of course, we want it to naturally to obtaining new experiences, understanding more and more, and specifically about the Bible. Understanding who God is, I have learned so much this year, going back through the Old Testament, and there are passages in there. And I see a verse in there, and I say to myself, is that what God thought then? And then I remember, well, God is unchangeable. So if he thought that then, does he think that today? Now, what would you think about that? What would you think about that? I think he'd think the same thing. And so how important is it to get in there and look and see what's in there? It'll surprise us sometimes what the Old Testament says, because we have forgotten a lot of things about those. Because it's the same God. He doesn't change. He doesn't change at all. That's all foundational. That's all what we want to build on, is God's character and understanding who he is. So we want to build on one concept to the next concept. Want to keep that link or the facts going. Knowledge is not just a mass of simple facts. Knowledge is being able to put those facts together and use those for a purpose, to have a direction in that, an experience. Each fact leads to and explains the new. Old facts reveal new, and new confirms the old. The act of knowing is the act of comparing and judging. Think about this. Living in Stratton. Now, I don't know, Greg may have experienced this, growing up in Stratton and then going to a big city. I mean, if you were sitting there and you're Stratton and you're taught, I'm sure when you were in school you had pictures of New York and different places, so you got to see those things. But to really understand them until you got there, then it's like, whoa, this is New York, or this is whatever city, you know. It's a big difference. It's something that if you've never experienced it, all of a sudden, whoosh, this is it, you know. It's like the kid that was told that the world was round, but he really didn't understand until he saw the globe. And he said, oh, the world's round. You know, it makes a difference. And so that's what we want to do, is be able to teach people to understand those things and give them those ideas so they can build on those. Knowledge is building blocks of more understanding. Isaiah 28, 9 through 10 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. We need building blocks in our lives to gain knowledge and understanding. And sometimes a new language takes its meanings from a known language. Right here, everybody knows this is a hand, right? What's this called? Everybody knows this is a thumb. What's this? Huh? Pointy finger? Okay. What's this one? Tall finger. What about this one? Yeah. Why is this called a ring finger anyway? Oh, got a ring on. Okay. What's this little one? Pinky. Right. So you know some ideas. But, you know, it's interesting. You watch a child, and we've seen several grow up, and they start to experience learning. They start to experience, this is my nose. You just starting to learn this, Henry? This is my ear. They start building on those things. Well, here, I'm a guy that's in high school, junior high, excuse me. And I remember one day sitting on the desk and had nothing else to do but daydream, you know, just anything that flitters around catches my attention. And I happened to look down one day and I saw my wrist. And I'll tell you the truth, it was the craziest thing that ever happened to me. There was a big old knot here. And I thought, where'd that come from? I looked over the other side, I had one there too. I was a little concerned. I'd never seen those before or thought about it. All of a sudden, I got these knots. I must be something's wrong. You know, it's funny when you see something and for the first time, or the first time you actually think about it, and you learn something new and you realize, hey, I'm okay. That other person has a couple of those too. And so we're okay. You know, we're still in the right ballpark here. And it's amazing what children will learn. I remember trying to teach them the wrist. I can't remember which one it was, Elizabeth or one of them, talking about, what's this called? Hand. What's this called? A hand. No, it's your wrist. It's your wrist. And it just took a while, but it's interesting to see how you can teach children things, how they learn. Anyway, let's go on. The student must have a reference to what he's trying to teach or be shared. That's why it's important as the teacher that you are trying to teach a student. You want them to have a reference point to where to go to. How can you teach salvation if they have no idea who God is and that they're not lost and all those things? How do you teach that? It's very hard to teach a young child that with sometimes simplistic language when they really don't understand. You could teach them words and maybe try to teach them concepts, but they still really don't understand. I remember Elizabeth for a long time, she said, I don't want to go to heaven. And we're thinking, what's wrong with you? Come on, kid. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. But look from her perspective, she's going, I'm here in the family. I want to stay here with y'all. I don't want to go anywhere. And so you think about that. It's hard sometimes for a child to grasp some of these things that we're trying to teach them, especially the young ones. And so we have to be able to relate it. And sometimes it takes a while. to give some understanding of those things. Just like God's love. What is that? If I can't really understand or see God, how do I know what God's love is? You know, so it's you have to think about these things to draw in the student and to be able to teach them through these things. You know, Jesus, when he was here, he used lots of different methods to teach people. I mean, when he went to John and James and Peter was there and Andrew, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." What did he use? He used something they understood. He used the idea of fishing. And often he used different objects. He used water and wine. He used 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He used the storms and winds. And he used all these things to teach his disciples and those that were around him about who he was and why he came. To the religious, he was really hard on the religious. Why was he so hard on the religious? What's your mind? Smiling? Why was he hard on them? Prideful, yeah. They should have known better. They had the Word of God, and yet they missed the whole picture when he came. And he was really tough on them. And he'd often quote Scripture back at them. And he called them a lot of different things. The farmer, he used the illustration of sowing and reaping to get them to see and understand what Jesus had come for. The sick, he demonstrated healing. He was always there to help them and to encourage them in the things. And he was always trying to point them to one thing, and that's salvation. And the fact that he was God and he could provide that. So a fact or principle that is unclear will confuse new concepts. Milton said this. He said, "A cloud left upon the lesson of yesterday can cast a shadow over the lesson of today." In other words, if we give ideas and they're not familiar to the student and we leave them that way, it's going to be hard to build the next lesson upon that. It's going to be hard to teach them some greater thought about that very basic of God is love or God created the whole world or those things. It's going to be hard to go forward if we don't teach them and they understand it and own it for themselves and come to the understanding. Those trees out there, God made. What day did God make the trees? Huh? 3rd day. Yeah, that's right. So we teach that. We teach those children how to do this so they can build on the whole concept of what God has done. The teacher is a living testimony. When I was taught the different subjects I've taught over the years, whether it was when I was taking classes for electrical engineering or when I was taking classes on how to be a fire control tech or mathematical classes, whatever, the person that was teaching was knowledgeable and they were people who did those things. They already knew all about them. They could tell you everything about the radar because that was their job. That's who they were. In fact, in the service, in the Navy, and probably all services to some degree, my next opportunity to serve would be either as an instructor teaching radar, or there was a couple other things I could do, but that was the main one. They wanted me to go back, take 3 years shore duty, and teach somebody else about radar, which I didn't want to do. So anyway, but that's how you learn, is somebody who has a testimony or experiences those things and understands and can help you understand. The law of the lesson is to try to draw the student into thinking about what is being taught. There are 3 stages according to Milton. First stage is doubt or uncertainty, seeing a problem and not understanding anything about it, have no idea. And there's things that you know about it, but you don't really know what to do. The second stage is organizing what is known and begins the process of resolving the problem. And then finally, the third stage is critical thinking, recognizing and rejecting ideas to which will bring a solution. I think about when our children were young and how they liked to try to wash dishes, okay? Well, they saw mom and dad do this. And so what they would do is they see, okay, dishes are dirty. We got to go clean the dishes. So they'd go up to the sink and they'd put water on the dishes. They'd rub them or whatever. They didn't really clean the dishes, but they kind of went through the motions of doing it. They saw a problem in their mind. They thought, this is the way you do it. And then they stack the dishes like they're done. Obviously, they haven't been completely trained yet, but they were learning. They were emulating these things. They were seeing the problem. It's just like in the nursery. You see a child, if maybe the nursery worker's down there and picks up the toys and goes and put it in the basket or whatever,
often the child will emulate that. They'll see a problem as that toy needs to be put away. Nobody's playing with it. So they'll pick it up and run over there and throw it in the basket and solve the problem. Now, maybe they don't understand everything about it, but they're learning something. They're learning problems and solutions and how to do it. Think cognitively and how to take care of things. And that's what we're trying to do, is teach people to do those things. So let me give you some rules for the teacher. We're running out of time. What we call knowledge could be thought as a record of solved problems. You know, I have knowledge of things that I've done in my life. Things that I can look back on and say, well, this was a solution for this. All of us have. That's where our knowledge comes from, is the things that we were able to do to solve problems. Facts and ideas are organized into systems. The knowledge passed on should help the student to solve problems that are real in their lives. Of course, your starting point is learning where your students are. You always want to know where to begin. You build on the student's knowledge, what they're experiencing or what they have experienced. Hopefully, part of that, especially for a Sunday school teacher, is that in the home, parents are reading the Bible and studying the Bible as well. So when they come to Sunday schools, it's not foreign matter to them. They already have a basics or a foundation to what the Sunday school teacher is trying to teach them and help them. You want to always relate lessons to former lessons. You want to build your lessons so that each step naturally leads to the next. And then steps are proportioned to the age level of the student. Find illustrations that are familiar. We went out and we were talking about God's word and talking about the fact that thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. So when we were in the Sunday school class, brought a flower and said, okay, here's a flower. Where did this come from? God established that. That's why it's here today. And it abideth, because God has put it in place. And so we can build on those facts and we can go from there. Make every new fact or principle familiar. Allow your students to use their own knowledge to guide them to new knowledge. Tell your students when they are successful to encourage them so they feel as though they are on familiar ground. And choose activities that are being taught to make them real so they understand. And then just a couple things, mistakes and violations of the law of the lesson. There are times when the teachers advance new lessons too quickly. Teachers neglect to see where their students are in relation to the subject. Often elementary facts and definitions are not made thoroughly familiar. We can teach a lot of things, especially about Scripture, and not have the definitions of those foundational so they can understand what it really means. It's hard when you don't understand what is justification. What does that mean? You know, when you're talking, especially to the older young folks and stuff, it's important that you know what that means, every bit of that. Every step is not understood before introducing the next. These are mistakes. Again, assignments are sometimes too long for students they are teaching. Boy, all of my assignments in school were too long, every single one of them. I'm talking about every class I ever went to. Teacher will often fail to draw the students into being discoverers, so they are ready to discover new ideas. Consequences of these and other violations of the law of the lesson reveal the inadequate preparation and study of the subject. In other words, we as the teachers, we need to have an adequate study of it that we're able to present it so that they can understand it. And you don't want to leave anybody behind. That's why you always want to pull in the one that's lagging behind and try to get them involved as well. Just what we're kind of doing in our Sunday school class now. So we'll try to work with that. All right. Teaching is challenging. It takes someone who has a desire to learn. You know, if you don't have a desire to learn, you shouldn't teach, because it's just not going to work. Anybody have any quick questions? That was pretty quick. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you for men like Milton who have over the years studied teaching and developed this. And Father, I pray that we would look to you and trust you as we, each one in this room, especially us adults, we're teachers. We're teachers by example. And Father, help each one of us to look to you and trust you in all things. We thank you again for your love, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.